some little girl back or something. I might need to show them what they went on out. Maybe they can make it. Oh, yeah, they've got somebody up there, yes. All right. Okay, I was intending on first going to second chapter of Romans and doing just a little study there. But then I got to reading in this commentary here. And I said, well, I'm just going to read a lot of it. And maybe if anybody has any question on it. All right, is that better? Okay. But like I said, I was going to do a little study in the second chapter of Romans, which points us, we might say, a better Christian life would follow it. But I got to reading in the commentary here about the things that they spoke of in the introductory to Romans. And I thought I would read some of that. And then the things that they tell us, the author is, well, I can't even read who it is. I do have my glasses. But the author has told us four or five things about Romans that we can all remember, and I'm sure we can remember it. But first, in our reading, we know that there is a God. And this God is greater than man. And this God made everything in the creation. And this we can read as we read in the first chapter of Romans. We see things like this. And then God gave to man a revelation, the Bible. God loves man and desires to help him. And this came about through Christ. God desires a response from man, which is obedience. And God will require an accounting by man on the day of judgment. And you know, that's something greatly to think about. God created everything. God is so much greater than man. God loves man so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Christ, for us. But God desires a response from man, obedience. So many people don't even believe in God, at least by the life they live. We know they don't. But God requires a response, obedience. Then we're going to be held accountable. Whether we obey or whether we don't. The day of judgment. So that's, we might say, the things that we need to think about as we study Romans. I mean, we're not going to even get through the first chapter tonight. But anyway, as we study Romans, we need to think about things that he talks about. Grace, Christ, God, Spirit. All of these things. So, in the study here, the author made one statement that I thought was very significant, that we all need to heed to no matter what we're studying in the Bible, or no matter what people is telling us. And he made this statement. If you study this book, either from personal edification or from anything else, I only caution you to compare all that you read with the Bible. If it agrees with God's word, accept it. If it is contrary to the word, reject it. So in all of our study, these are the way we need to treat it. if it is God's word, we accept it. If not, we reject it. Even if I'm or Gibson or Jimmy or Terry, whoever's doing the speaking, if we accidentally say something, it's not God's word, reject it. And don't only reject it, tell us about it. Tell us about it. Correct us, whatever. We're human. We'll make mistakes. All right, as we know, Paul was the author of Romans. And we might ask the question, why is Paul qualified to write a book in the Bible? We know Paul persecuted Christians, sold them in jail, and had them killed. Anyone, why is Paul qualified to write a book in the Bible? Ron, you got an answer? He was an apostle, chosen specifically by Jesus. What was Paul's main objective, we might say, in all of his writing? Someone? All right. Follow the word as God teaches it. So many times we can hear him say, do it, follow it, obey it. What might we say is, we could look at Romans, the very first chapter, very first verse. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. What do we mean by servant? Anyone? He particularly said some places a bond servant in some of the writings. But I believe in that one. He just says he's a servant. But a bond servant. What is a servant? Are we a servant of anything?
A slave,
right? Okay, a slave. Paul said he was a slave to who? To Christ Jesus. A bondservant to Christ. Paul did so much writing, and I would want to say to the normal Christian, and all of this, everything that he writes, we can say it can be the same to us. So much about in the second chapter, I believe it is, or it might be in the first one here, where he talks about all of these things that they practice, they believed in, they lived in. I think it was about 15 or 16 words there that he's talking about. And we can see so much of it today going on as to how people live, as to how we live. So many of them set apart for nothing but evil. So Paul was a bondservant. He was a slave. And the author here says, every Christian is a slave of Jesus. He has been purchased by Christ's blood. So we should consider ourselves a slave. Paul says we're part of Christ. When we're baptized, we become part of Christ. We put on Christ. And that was stressed over and over by Paul. Paul said he was set apart for the gospel. We need to set apart our lives for the gospel. Set apart. And as we go through it, eventually, in studying Romans, Paul makes, in the verse 3 of chapter 1, he says, concerning his son, who was descended from David, according to the flesh. According to the flesh, he was of the lineage of David, the promised one through David, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit. So you know, according to the flesh, after David. According to the Spirit, power of God. Spirit, power from God. What proved Christ to be the Son of God? A greater proof than that. What's a greater proof than that? Somebody said it. Resurrection. A lot of people, I mean, Christ, when he was baptized, we know that when he come up, a spirit declared that he was Son of God. But beyond all measures, proved to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead. Resurrection. Proved to be. Okay. We see so many times Paul making emphasis, we might say, on two things. The gift of God being what? Grace. The power of God to us was what? Or is what? Salvation. Salvation. Reconciliation through baptism, forgiveness of our sins, was a gift. Then receiving of the Holy Spirit, a gift from God. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? Baptism says we receive it. But how do we strengthen the Holy Spirit? Maybe the question I'm trying to find out. What? Study. Reading, study, dwelling on it, living it. I've said over and over and over, I guess here, we strengthen the Holy Spirit by reading, studying, living it. The Holy Spirit's not going to bap us and say, you're this, you're that, you're that. We have to strengthen the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Paul goes over that over and over and over. Faith, as we read in James, is dead without what? Works. So there is things for man to do to receive the gift, to receive all of this. All right, Ron's already mentioned about how Paul received his apostleship on the road to Damascus. He was struck blind, and Christ, I guess we could say, appointed him to be an apostle through this, his vision there. And I just mentioned that faith without works is dead. So our faith must be active. We can look around and on Sunday morning, we can anyway, and look around and see people in this audience that we might say just warms the bench. Bench warmers is what I've heard them call. That does nothing. And you know, I'm very afraid, worried, not necessarily a word, but concerned, I guess you'd say, about people that do nothing. Because Paul says they're dead. They're not active. They're not doing. And we see that. He was, we might say, directly chosen by Christ, by God, to be a servant, a bondservant, an apostle, to preach, to teach. What did Paul say about how he felt about his preaching and teaching? He was on fire. He was compelled to preach, to teach. And I think a lot of times, how much are we compelled to teach, to preach? I hope we all realize that we don't have to get up in a pulpit to preach, to teach. Because so many times, that personal teaching that we do, ought to do, maybe I should say, one-on-one, or maybe two-on-two, however we do it, so many times that does a whole lot more than a preacher does standing in the pulpit. Or maybe even a teacher like this, teaching a class. So many times it's better when we meet them face to face and talk and preach and teach. Okay. And they, we know that Paul was chosen to be a special preacher, we might say, to what group of people? Gentiles. Paul himself said many a time he was chosen to be preacher to the Gentiles. We can read and in all our study here, see that Paul wants so many times to tell the Christians or the brethren or whoever he's speaking to about Gentiles, the way they live, the way they, we might say, forsook God. But then we also see at the same time, he tells the Jews the very same thing. You are like them. In verse 14 of the first chapter, he makes a statement that he was under obligation, both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. He'd already talked about being preaching to the Gentiles and verse just for that, but to the Greek, barbarians, wise, and to the foolish. Who did Paul leave out? Paul was saying he was under obligation to preach to everyone, anyone that would listen. When we might say for us, anyone that we come in contact with, we're obligated. And we can think about, what does the word obligated mean? Oh my. It's something that we gotta do. We gotta do it. Obligated. Like signing a contract, we're obligated. Obligated to preach and teach to anyone that we come in contact with. In first chapter, verses 16 and 17, we see Paul making a statement, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith." What does the word righteous talking about? We can see Paul talking about righteousness, unrighteousness, righteous, doing what? Doing what's right. Doing good. Unrighteous, evil, bad. All of these things. We can see Paul talking about preaching Christ to some was a stumbling block. And you know, I think a lot of the world today takes that as Christ being a stumbling block. They don't want to hear it. You mention Christ to some of them, that's it. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. It's a very stumbling block to them. But to others, it is salvation. It is the grace of God. In this epistle, in the Paul, most of all of Paul's epistles, we can see that the gospel is what? Good news, glad tidings. But we just got through talking about it being a stumbling block. How can it be good news, stumbling block? It all depends upon the ears. People hearing, people doing, people listening. The hearts of mankind. Whether it's a stumbling block or whether it's good news, glad tidings. And we definitely see that today. The writer has made the statement that everything that the Jews, Gentiles, all of them did, we can look and see it happening today. Just look what kind of world we live in. And it's taught throughout Paul's teachings. His teachings is very, we might say, prominent to us today, because we can see so much of his negative, we might say, teaching about others, the way others are acting, the way the world is acting. All right. We know that the Gentiles became subject to God's wrath. Subject to God's wrath. Why were they subject to God's wrath? What did they do? One word, we might put it, idolatry. Does idolatry bother us today any? Anyone? Does anyone have an idol today? We can see some even riding around with a little idol in the car. Maybe some make an idol out of any type of image. But so many of us have idols. What can we make an idol of? Anything is right. So many have that filthy lucre as an idol. That's all they think about. That's all they look forward to. That's all they're doing. This for more, more, more. Money, money, money. Or we can make an idol out of anything that takes us away from God's word. Takes us away from giving God the glory. Takes us away from studying God's word. You know that old TV? I know I watch TV a lot more than I study. But I've gotten where I can have this in front of me reading and studying, the TV going on. I won't even know what's happening on the TV. So like I heard Betty say one time, just the noise, just to keep us awake, I guess. But an idol can be anything. And we need to think about, do we have an idol? Anything, is it causing us? Is it separating us from God's word? You know, I think a lot of times about illnesses. Some people get what? Maybe just a little toothache. And they can't. I often wonder, and I've thought of this sometimes myself, and that's one reason I'm so determined to, if I can possibly at all be here, I'm going to be here. I don't care if I have to walk or somebody has to push me in a wheelchair or whatever, be here. But I'm not going to come just so people see me being pushed in. Not for the show of it. But come to serve God. Come to worship. In spirit and in truth. In spirit. You know, I can talk about a lot of things, but in spirit. So many times we come, but are we in spirit? Are we still just in body? Are we ready when we come to worship? To worship. To serve God. To learn. But are we just here to be here? In spirit and in truth. All right. I want us to think about, if I find out where it is. I know I've got them all listed here somewhere. Paul mentioned in the beginning verse 29 of this chapter. I'm going to read 28, 29, beginning there. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, here's talking about the Gentiles, did not see fit to acknowledge God, didn't recognize God, didn't thank God, didn't pay homage, we might say, to God, pay glory to God. God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. And we can see people like this out there, that their mind has got to be abased, as the word here is talking about, has got to be thinking of nothing but evil, nothing but bad, no good at all in their mind, no good at all in their thinking. We see that. It's got to be that way because the way people live, all of these murders and shootings and these things we hear about every morning on TV or every night, whenever you listen to the news. This one got killed. That one got killed. 10 got killed by shootings and so forth. What kind of mind does a person have that does all that type of thing? It's got to be what Paul's talking about right here. A debased mind. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness. All manner of unrighteousness. What do we talk about unrighteousness? Not doing what's right. All bad, all evil. unrighteousness, evil. These are the words that I was going to sort of look at and think about and before I got over to reading the first part of the chapter. But then, and thinking about these, they were thinking wrong so many times, making wrong decisions. What does wrong decisions lead to? Wrong thinking. What does wrong thinking lead to? Wrong living. So they were very unrighteous, living wrong. Then the word he uses, I think he said this type of depravity Paul spoke about 20 different sins. So many of them are, we might say, comparable or just about alike. Unrighteousness, we already talked about it. It's wrong living. Greed. We see greed. Well, here it says envy, murder, strife, deceit. But greed, what is greed? Wanting things more and more and more. What do they say about a rich man? Never satisfied, he wants more. More and more. Evil, bad, wicked, full of it. Evil, full of envy. What do you mean by envy? These are words, remember, Paul is using in describing Gentiles. These are words that can be described about so much of our world, so much of our society today. Envy. I'm going to get whatever I can get no matter what. I'm going to make a fortune no matter what. I know Ron made a fortune, so I am too. Even if I have to take it away from Ron. Envy. You're thinking about it. You're thinking about it. You're desiring it. You want it. Then it gets down to murder. We know what murder is. Nothing stands in people's way, so they murder to get it. What was the statement made that if we think it in our heart, it's just as bad? If we wish someone to be murdered or someone to be dead in our heart, it's there. Murder. Strife. You know, this is something that a lot of churches get into. Strife, contention, arguing, fighting over just nothing a lot of times. All right, deceit. That's similar to the word we might say envy, or we're going to deceive people. So many times we give this word to politicians. They're very deceitful. Say things but do right the opposite. Tell you something knowing that it ain't true, that ain't the way it's going to work out. Deceit. deceitful. Boy, howdy, if we listened to everything that was put on that TV about advertisements, spend our money on those things, ain't no way. I mean, Jimmy, do you have... So many of them is put out there for, we might say, people that are gullible, people that is going to accept it, people's going to try it. I remember my mother, Linda, had to pretty well take over her finances, keep her from ordering things off of the TV and all that sort of thing. Very deceitful, very deceptive. Looks great. Advertising is great. It's not. Jimmy, go ahead.
Say about murder. They have all these reenactment shows that go through murders and things. It's amazing how people cross the line from being happy with somebody to where their happiness depends on murdering that person. So you know,
yeah, and so many of these, we might say there's 20 sins that Paul has listed here. We could be happy being right the opposite. Every one of them, we could be happy being right the opposite of deceiving someone or lying to someone or being jealous of someone, being envious of something or someone. Very definitely. So many of these, yeah, it turns out that way. But they say love and hate is so close together. Ron? We can see the murders and all that thing on. I can't get over the way that we see so much on TV. Even in the news telling us so much about the sins of the world. As Paul was trying to describe here, so much of it. Now we're fixing to get into some of these words. Oh, Ed's fixing to shut us down. Anyway, get into some of these words that we might say hits home pretty hard at times. We need to think about gossips. Gossips. What is a gossip? What makes a gossip?
Tell
they gossip like they think they need to hear it. Yes. But a gossip is something that, to me, sometimes buzz in somebody's ear and telling them something. Did you hear what Uncle Susie did or this or that? Or, so many times, I don't want to say it to the ladies, but gossip, I think, and I want to believe it, ladies gossip more than men. I knew I was going to hear that. But anyway, it don't matter who's doing it. Paul says it ain't right. Gossip. Saying things that don't make a hill of beans. Against someone else. Spreading bad news. A lot of times it doesn't necessarily have to be bad. Maybe spreading the truth sometimes before it needs to be spread. Or saying things about somebody that they would want it to be told maybe later and whatever. Gossip. Then we get into such things as slanderers. So many times a gossiper is a slanderer. Slander. Did y'all hear what Johnny did the other day? Johnny's running around on his wife. To me, that's gossiping, slandering, saying things that's, even if it's true, we don't need to be telling everybody about it. What does the words tell us to do if something like that's going on? Go to who? Them. The ones that you're talking about. Go to them. A slanderer. Then Paul said the Gentiles were haters of God. Haters of God. That sounds to be so mean. Haters of God. They hated God. I'm just going to read quite a bit. They hated God because he was pure and they were impure. They hated God because he was holy and they were unholy. They hated God because he was good and they were wicked. God had become a barrier between them and their pleasures. That happens so much today. God was the chain that kept them from doing what they wanted. Thus, they hated God. I'm sure we most all have heard or heard about people saying, I don't go because I'd rather be what? Fishing? Playing golf, boating, swimming, almost anything can be put there. I don't love God because God won't allow me to do all of these things. But haters of God, Paul said the Gentiles were. Then he gets some more of these adjectives, insolent, arrogant, boastful. These three to me go together. Insolent, arrogant, and boastful. I'm very insolent because you can't tell me anything that I don't know. Arrogant about it? No, I ain't gonna change my mind. Boastful? I'm the greatest. All of this, to me, goes together. And we don't have to be like, who was it? Whoever he is anyway. Arnold Schwarzenegger, maybe that's what I thought about. big and powerful and strong, to be arrogant, to be boastful, to be prideful, to be all of this. We don't even have to show it publicly. It can be where? Right in there. In our mind, in our thoughts, in our thinking. The way we speak to people. We can be arrogant, we can be boastful. Then he gets to one, inventors of evil. Inventors of evil. Can we invent anything new, evil? Inventors of evil. People are doing it all the time. They invent new ways to be greedy. They invent new ways to create murder. They invent new ways. So much inventors of evil. And Paul said the Gentiles were that way. And then he further makes a statement to the Jews, so are you. And then we go on right quick, disobedient to parents. We see this all the time. Verse 31 says they're without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. All of these is words that could and does identify our society, identify our world. And what's the most important thing about all of these that we need to remember? Verse 32, they who know the ordinances of God and those who practice such things are worthy of death. Worthy of death. And then we get ready for study of chapter 2, where I wanted to go, but it's over. I hope this just mindful of things that we, I guess I could say it, most of us know, a renewing of so much about Paul's teaching. But remember what he said on the very last thing. I said it, but he said it on the very last thing of this book. Whatever you read, whatever you study, make sure it is according to the Word. If it is, accept it. If it's not, reject it. Can we pray? Our most gracious Father in heaven, we're thankful unto you for the Word that we can read it, study it, and Father, many times be reminded of so much of the things, so much of the teachings of Paul warning us through the warnings that he gave to the Gentiles and to the Jews to live our life, one in holiness and one in righteousness. We're thankful, Father, for your word, and pray, Father, that each of us will study it, learn it, and obey it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.